Okay, we're off to Parak Tezayin, Pasuk Zayin. Tezayin, Zayin. We are in the middle of concluding the prophecy of Yeshaya concerning the downfall, Chorban of the nation of Moab. So there are two complete parakim. It's pretty good. Not that many nations get two parakim for their gloom and doom. But here we have two parakim, and we're towards the end. Pasuk Zayin Lachen. Therefore, Yelil Moav LeMoav Kula. Now this means Lachen Yelil Moav LeMoav Kulo Yelil. Okay, you have to put the commas in the right place. Yelil means to mourn, to wail, to cry. Kulo means entirely, and again it says the word to mourn. This means, let's explain the idea. The only ones who will mourn for Moav will be Moav itself. In other words, other nations, when they suffer tragedy, they suffer a blow, they're not alone. They have friends, they have allies, and their allies come to their aid. They send emergency aid, they send help, and even if they can't help, they have memorials, they cry, "You're my friend. This nation is our ally, it is our friend, and we are with you in imo anochi b'tzara." Not so when it comes to Moab. The only one that will mourn the destruction of Moab will be the nation of Moab itself. Why? Because Moab was so arrogant and so wicked, no one wanted to associate itself with this nation. And that's what the Pasuk here says. L'chein, therefore, this is a continuation of the previous Pasuk Vav, discussed the expressions of arrogance. We had a very fascinating Pasuk of Go'in Moab, Geimod, V'gava, So, U'ge'ono, four expressions of Gaiva. And then the ever so anger, lechein badav, the lies are not true. So therefore, because it is extremely arrogant, and they are an angry people, and people who are a collection of liars, liars. Therefore, lechein. Therefore, yeyelil Moav. Who will cry for Moav? Yeyelil Moav. Moav will cry. Limoav for Moav. Kulo, all of the people, all of the citizens will yeyelil. Everyone in Moav will cry, but only Moav. That's Gilgal. Only Moav will cry for Moav, but no one else. Pasuk continues. What will they cry for? La'a shishay, for the foundations. This is an unusual word. It means the foundations of Kir is the city of Chareses. That was the name of a city. Okay, I don't know that's the name. It's just that we have to have this is the name of the city in Moav. Tegu also means to cry, to mourn. It's not just a synonym for the word yeyelil. Ach only nicho'im. Now this simply is a repetition of the same theme in the beginning of the pasuk. The ones who are broken, nicho'im literally means means a cripple, but in the broader context here it means those who are broken, who are smashed, who are cut off, referring to Moav. Only Moav. Ach, only the broken, only the defeated will mourn their loss. No one else will mourn because they have no friends. So simply this last section of the pasuk for the foundations of the city of Chareses, Tegu will mourn. Ach, only those that have been defeated, those that have been broken, is basically the same exact thing that it says in the beginning of the pasuk where it said, Lochein yeyelil Moav, leMoav kulo yeyelil. Same idea. The only ones that will mourn will be the Moavim themselves. There's a medrash that says Ach nichoim means those that are crippled, the survivors. In other words, when Sanherib and his army attacked and conquered Moab, they killed everyone. Every so often there was some complication where not everyone died. People were wounded. They were severely wounded. They were cripples, and they were crawling on the earth just to get some food. So the Moavim, as they were packing up their the Assyrians, as they were packing up their belongings to go home, to return to the land of Ashur, they didn't bother to kill these few people that are crawling on the ground, because what are they worth? They're helpless. It's not worth our effort to kill the crippled, the maimed, and the injured. Adrabba, let them suffer in their misery. We're going home, we're finished, our job is done, and we're going to leave. So the only ones that will survive, this basically means the churban will be so complete, there will not be any healthy person that will survive. the only ones that will be left to mourn the loss of Moab will be the crippled, will be the maimed, those that are injured. Tegu ach, only the nicho'im. What happened to the healthy people, the soldiers? There are no prisoners. They're all dead. There's no one else. That's another interpretation. Pasuk ches, ki, because Shadmos, that means the field, Sodeb, where Shadmos comes from, the world field, Cheshbon, Umlol will wither. The fields, Moab pride themselves in their beautiful fields, in their beautiful pasture lands. Remember, Moab was the area where God, Reuven, Chatz Yishev, and Menashe lived. That, why didn't Moshe give that land to God, Reuven, Chatz Yishev, and Menashe? Because they had a lot of mikneh, a lot of animals, and they need a lot of pasture land. Now, we mentioned many times that Moab, after a certain period of time, they came and they conquered this land from Reuben, Gad, Chad, Shev, and Manasseh. So it was beautiful fields, beautiful pasture land. The pasuk here says a curse will come upon this nation, ki shad mos cheshbon. The beautiful fields of cheshbon, umlal, will wither. There will be nothing left. Furthermore, gefen sivma, the vines, the vineyards of the land of Sivma, Baalei Goyim. Baalei Goyim is an expression which means the kings of the earth. It means that we have to remember when Asher conquered the land of Moab, when he conquered Israel and other nations, it wasn't just Asher alone. He formed an alliance with all of the other nations. It was a privilege to be accepted into the alliance of Asher, because Asher was the world power. Whoever is the world power, you know, it's an honor that you should be able to sit at their table. United States. The United States, if they'll reach out to it's an honor to be a partner with the United States in any goal, in any mission that they have. Same thing. They were the world power. So other kings sent their best soldiers, sent their best generals to participate in the conquest of the land of Moab. And here, when we define the land of Sivma, the beautiful vineyards of Sivma, the Baalei Goyim, the kings and the generals, the masters of the nations, holmu, holmu means they will. Let me just see what it says in the Mitzudos, pasuk ches. Holmu inyan shvu will break it. Holmu will be broken. It will be destroyed. It's in the word which means shvira. And here, in this context, it means it will be the beautiful vineyards of Sivma, the Baalei Goyim, Holmu, Baalei Goyim, Holmu, it goes together with the next word, I mean, Holmu, Sirukel, the vines. The Geffen refers to the vineyard. In the vineyard, there are vines. So the Baalei Goyim, Holmu, will destroy Sirukeha, the vines of the beautiful vineyards of the land of Sivma. Period. Ad Yazer Nogohu, they will reach. Nogohu means to reach, to touch. The conquest will be complete. The enemy will reach all the way until the boundary boundary of Moab was the city of Yazer. Ad Yazer Nogohu, they will reach. Tohu Midbar, the citizens of Moab will flee, will wander. Tohu means to wander to the Midbar, into the desert. Shiluchoseha, this means its branches. Since we're comparing here in this context Moab to a vineyard, to a field and to vineyards, so now when we refer to the citizens, we refer to the people, we refer to the branches of these fields. Shiluchoseha, its branches, nitishu, have spread. Have nitishu means to have extended forward, meaning it's an expression here which means that the people, the citizens, have extended, have fled to the corners of their land, of Ruyam, to the point where they even had to cross the Yam, the sea, the river, the Yarden, into the Malchus of Israel or other places to escape the onslaught, the Churban of. At this point in time, there was no Malchus of Yisrael, where it was conquered by Asher, but it means when Malchus of Yisrael once was, that was now it was a wasteland, they would run, they would cross the Yarden to go into land that was just forest land in order to escape the enemy, Asher and his soldiers. So that is what this pasuk here means. Other interpret this pasuk to refer to, this interpretation fits a little bit better with the word Shiluchoseha. All of the different things in the pasuk describe different types of levels of society or different madrigals in the army of Sanherib. We have first the Geffen, we have the Shadmos. The Shadmos refers to one type of element of society. Then we have the Gefen Sivma. Those are another type of group, another wealthy group of people. And then we have the Silukeha, the leaders, the rich people. Again, different types of groups. We can, and then when it comes to the last part of Shiluchoseha, this is the masses, the Hamoina, the simple people. So you're dealing with different, they're really four different words which define different societies, class of society in the nation of Moab. Okay, the first is the Gefen Sivma. Then there is there is Shadmos Cheshma. That's one concept. Simply means the fields of Cheshma. Then there is the Gefen Sivma. Then maybe it starts with the word Sirukeha. That's the idea. Then there is Sirukeha. Among the Gefen Sivma, let's assume that's a certain class in society, and in that class there are subcategories. There is the Sirukeha, these are the shoots of the vines. Then there is the Shiluchoseha, are the branches, the simple branches, which refer to the Hamoinam, the ordinary people, and they as well the Nitishu. Nitishu means to extend, to spread all the way far away, escape the enemy, over Yom, to the point where they have to even cross over the Yom. Next, Pasuk Tes, Al Kein therefore, Evke, I will cry Bivchi Yazeh, Gefen Sivma. Okay, this can mean a few things. This one idea, this goes back to we learned yesterday, that Yirmiyah mourned the loss of Moab. Yeshaya was mourning the loss of Moab. Unlike the other prophets, other leaders of the world, Bilam, who was hired to curse and had no difficulty cursing, no problem cursing Klal Yisrael, the prophets of Klal Yisrael mourn the loss, the suffering of the nations of the world, because they see in them great potential to serve Hashem, to assist Klal Yisrael, and when they are destroyed, that spiritual potential is gone from the world. And this was especially true, we find this much more, we have mentioned this 2 days ago, much more by Moab than any other nation. Moab was a nephew, Lot was the nephew of Avram Avinu, and in fact from Moab came Melech HaMashiach, David HaMelech. In Lot, in Moab, there was some degree of spirituality which would have been of a great benefit to the world. And unfortunately, it was lost, and Yeshaya cries and mourns over this loss. That's what it says here explicitly. Therefore, Efke, I cry. Yeshaya is speaking. I also cry. Bivchi Yazer, with the tears of Yazer, just like I cried over Yazer, that's what we mentioned before in one of the cities that was destroyed in Moab, I also cry over the Gefen Sivma, the vines of Sivma. I cry the same chub. That's similar to what it means. Like there were two different things mentioned. It was Yazer was destroyed, and the previous passage we mentioned the Gefen Sivma was destroyed. Yeshaya says, I'm going to mourn over both. And just like I mourned over Yazer, I'm going to mourn over the beautiful vineyards of Sivma, which represent an entire class of society that was destroyed. Another interpretation is that these two places are at a great distance. Okay, I don't know the geography, but it says here in the Mefarshim that these two places in Moab, so geography, are two different areas of Moab. They're very far apart. And it's almost impossible or very difficult for an army at that time to conquer one section of the land and a short period of time to travel all the way to the other side and conquer the other, like the United States. You can't go, if you're dealing with an army of soldiers, they're not going with planes, you're traveling by foot, you're not going to go from the East Coast to the West Coast in one day. It's not going to happen. It takes a period of time to go from one location to another location. However, Sanherib, his attack was so ferocious and had so many soldiers and was so powerful, he was able to do what would otherwise have been impossible. He was able to conquer Yazer and Sivma in a period of time that was so close together that the people of Sivma did not yet even get a report of what happened in Yazer. Normally, you hear something happens over here, so it's a news travels. The people in the other far away will hear about it way before they come under attack, because it takes time for the army, the enemy, to get themselves together and move forward and attack another part of the country. But here the Pasuk is telling us that in a very, very short period of time, Sanherib's army would attack Yazer and Sivma, and the people of Sivma would not yet know what happened in Yazer, and I will mourn in one shot. The mourning for both will take place simultaneously. The Vri Yazer, Gef and Sivma, I cry with the cry of Yazer over the vines of Sivma. Next, Ar Yavech. Ar Yavech means to drench, to satiate with liquid, to quench one's thirst. So here I will drench Dim Asi. I will my tears will drench you. Cheshbon ve'el olay. My tears will drench you due to the loss of Cheshbon and El Olay, another two cities. Yishai is saying the korban of these two cities are going to be so complete, I will cry such tears that the land will be drenched in my tears. Let's see Pasuk Tes in the Mitzvahs. Ar Yovech, Ato Cheshbon ve'el olay, I will drench each one of you with the tears of my eyes. So he's talking about these stones. When he sees that these two lands are destroyed, then he will cry over them and they will be drenched in his tears, like we explained. Ki, why? What exactly will happen to these two lands? Cheshbon ve'elole. These were fertile lands which were used for planting and they were orchards and fields. Ki, because al ketzeich v'al kitzireich heidod nofal. Now ketzeich means the harvest of fruit of an orchard. It's a term that is reserved when it comes the season. The season is over. You go into the orchard and you pluck the apples off the tree. That's called the ketzeich. Ketzeich is to cut. The end of the season is here, and now it's time to cut, to remove the fruits off the tree. The word kitzireich is also a word which means harvest, but it's a reserved word for harvest of fields, grain. So these were cities which had fields and orchards. Normally there was a great celebration at the time of harvest when the people of Moab would gather in the fruit and food and grain. But now, who will take in the fruit and grain? The enemy, Ashur. And when the enemy will harvest the fruit and grain, Heidod Nofol. Heidod is an expression which means hooray. It's the equivalent of today when people say hooray, hip hip hooray. I think hip hip hooray came from the Crusades, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Christian, people, Jews say it very often, hip hip hooray. If I'm not mistaken, this expression was invented by the Christians when they marched on to Yerushalayim in the year 1096. This was their victory expression, hooray. Here the word heidod is the ancestor of the word hooray. It was an expression, they would say heidod, heidod. That was the word they used to express their joy in conquest. So nafal means they will fall, but nafal in this context means they will bring forth. They will express as they conquer these two cities and take for themselves the fruits and grain of the orchards and fields. Pasik, and that's why Yeshaya says, I see such a terrible thing happening, that's why I'm going to cry over the loss of these two cities. Pasik Yud, V'nesaf simcha v'gil min ha-karmel, and when this happens, it will be gathered in. It will cease to exist. Nesaf, it means the Lashon expression, when a person dies, he's gathered into the world. So here it means the same thing. Nesaf simcha v'gil min ha-karmel. It will be gathered in joy, two expressions of joy min ha-karmel. That's from the fields, from the orchards. When the korban of these two cities is complete, uvakramim lo yirunon, there will no longer be song, v'lo yiro'ah, shouts of joy, jubilation. That's what will happen when this land is destroyed. No longer will the people of Moab celebrate the harvest season because they will cease to be a nation. No one will live there. The land will become a forest. Yayin bayikavim, wine in the wine press, lo yidroch hadoreich. No longer will people be pressing the grapes in the wine press, in the vat, because the korban is complete. There is no longer any wine. There is no longer any wine press in the land of Moab. Heidad Hishvati. Now, Heidad here now doesn't refer to the Heidad, the shout of joy of the enemy, but here the word Heidad refers to the shouts of joy of the citizens of the land of Moab. Normally, every year, when it was harvest season, to process the grapes to produce wine, they would gather the grapes into the wine press and they would start the process of pressing the grapes. They would sing and they would say the word Heidad, which means there's a shout of joy. We are celebrating our good fortune that we have beautiful grapes, we have a beautiful harvest, and we are wealthy. We will have what to sell and make a lot of money. But this Heidad, this joy, and this song and shouts of joy, Heidad, that is accompanied by shouts of celebration, Hishpati, I will cause to come to an end, will cease to exist, because the land of Moab, the nation of Moab, will cease to exist. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Al Kain, therefore, may I, therefore Yeshaya continues to say, may I, my innards, my stomach, again, this is the third time where Yeshaya's expression, I mourn. It's fascinating how many times Yeshaya says this, I mourn over the loss of these people. The spiritual potential is gone. My stomach, my innards, goes out. It cries out, Limoav, for Moav, Kakinor Yehemu. It makes sounds like a harp. My insides are turning. And when different parts of a person's body move, it produces sound. And here the sound is being compared to a kinor. Kakinor Yemu will mourn like the sound of a kinor. A kinor normally produces beautiful music, but here it's referring to just sounds of anguish. The kirbi, my inside, also mourns. You have to add a couple of words into the simple translation of the pasuk. The kirbi, my inside, you have to really add the word yehemu. Make believe the word yehemu has now been added a second time, because the word yehemu in the previous part of the pasuk goes in the word the kirbi. Likir goes out for the city of Chores. That was the name of a popular city in the land of Moab, and when I see that it's destroyed, and this utter and sudden korban, I cry and I mourn its loss. Pasuk Yudeis, v'haya, it will be ki nire ki nila moav. It will be that when they will see, nir means when they will see, ki nila moav al habama, when they are exhausted on the bama, uva el mikdasho, they will go to their sanctuary, lehispalel v'lo yuchal, lahavdil elef alfe havdalas. I'm sure you've all worked hard days in your life, every day, and you come late at night, mincha ma'ariv, come to ma'ariv, after a long, hard day, you have no koyach to daven. You just go through lip service. I know, this is unfortunately how I feel every day. Right? You come at the end of the day, not even work so hard. You come at the end of the day, you just go through the motions. So that's what it says over here, basically, about Moav. They will be so exhausted, they are going to pray to their gods, their whatever, their deities, Avodah Zarah, the stars, the moon, whatever they worshipped. So normally it appears in Moab, they were very religious people. That's what it appears to be. That's what Yishai is saying. They have great potential. Unfortunately, they did not channel their spirituality to serve Hashem. They used this very great spiritual potential, unfortunately, for the wrong things, to worship gods, whatever they worshipped. So even what they did, they took pride in. They worshipped whatever they worshipped. And they were passionate about their idols. Part of their tzad, there's a lot of psychology here in this pasuk, that after the onslaught, when they'll suffer so much, so they'll figure maybe we'll have there some hope. We can go first to the altar. We'll go outdoors to the bottom of the high places, and we'll sacrifice animals to our gods. So there was a two-step process to their religion. They would first sacrifice animals to their gods. Could be they sacrificed their own children, whatever they did, they sacrificed things to their gods. And this took place in the fields, on the high, called the bottomless, the high places. And then when they would finish this service, they would go into their temple and pray. The praying, there was no sacrifice, no offerings that took place during the time of prayer. The temple is where they just would pray. Outdoors in the bummos is where they would offer sacrifices. So here, the day has passed. And during the course of the day, they bury their dead. And the enemy attacked. and destroyed them. And the survivors, when the day was over, they got together and they went to the bamos, to the high places, and they offered a few sacrifices. And then they went into their temple, as they normally do, to pray. And normally, in the good days, they would pray with a lot of emotion and fervor and enthusiasm. But they have no koyach. They have no strength to pray. They're just lip service because they're exhausted from the sorrows that have come upon them through the course of the day. That's what it says. V'hoyel v'kinira kinila. It will be when they will see. Let's look at the mitzvah stuff. Kinira kasha yira moy v'ashahu nila. V'oyef lamar al abama. Lilochem shama mula oyef. So here, bama also, I told you bama means to worship, to offer sacrifices to the gods. Kobe, that's not correct. Maybe I saw that somewhere else, I don't even remember. But Kobe, here the way the mitzvah learns is the bama refers to the battlefield. The bama means the high places. Where would they fight? They would fight from their lookouts, from their fortresses. The bama refers to the place, the battlefield. When Moav will see that they're exhausted in the battlefield, the bama is the fortress where they're fighting, where they're throwing down stones and they're looking out from the high places. We've got to take a break. Bring in a new shift. A new shift comes in. The old shift goes. Where do they go? They go to the temple to pray. And they come to the temple. They have no energy. They're demoralized. They have no strength. When Moav will see that they're nila moyav al habama, they're exhausted. Nila means to be exhausted. Al habama, upon the high place. And now I'm going to translate this going to our second interpretation, upon the high place where they're fighting. So what do? They go for a break. They go el mikdasho. They now go to their temple to pray. Lehispalel. But v'lo yuchal. This can be one of two things. It can mean either that they have no energy. And when they have no energy to pray, that itself is demoralizing. That itself is a punishment for the people that they can't even express themselves to their idols. Another interpretation is v'lo yuchal means it's not going to help. V'lo yuchal is success. Yuchal means you can, you accomplish. To no avail. They come to their temple, they pray. Who are they praying to? They're praying to the sun, the moon, to make-believe gods that don't have ears, the gods that have no to nothing. V'lo yuchol, it's going to be futile. Their attempt to pray, they will be completely destroyed. Pasuk Yud Gimel Zeh HaDavar, this that we have learned, everything that we've learned these last two parak, this is a summary. This is very unusual. This is not your typical conclusion of a parak. You don't have this very often, but here we have it in this parak in Gartam of Zeh HaDavar. Everything that we've mentioned in the past two parakim, Asher Dibra Hashem El Moav, Me'oz, Hashem spoke about Moav, Me'oz, long ago. We don't know exactly when Hashem revealed this prophecy to Yeshaya about Moav, but it wasn't at the time when Yeshaya spoke. Yeshaya kept, he withheld this prophecy until Hashem told him to reveal the prophecy. Yeshaya started out when he was 36 years old, receiving prophecy. So that was way before it was necessary to reveal this information to the world. But it was told to him, Me'oz, but the Atah, now, at this moment in time when he is speaking, it's not clear exactly, but it is a little bit clear, the Atah now, Diber Hashem Lemar, Hashem spoke to Yeshaya saying, B'shalosh Shanim, I want you now to reveal this prophecy which has been revealed to you long ago, and tell them that it will come true in exactly 3 years to the day from when you speak. B'shalosh shanim, in exactly 3 years, kishnei sochir, which is equal to the years of a hired worker, v'nikla, kivod moav, nikla means to be demeaned, to be diminished, lashon of kal, kal means light, kavod means heavy, it's a beautiful expression, these two words go together. Kavod we always translate as honor, but kavod really means kavet, heavy. Nikla means to make light of, from the word kal. So these two words, a beautiful, beautiful parallel, kal and kavod. Here it says v'nikla kavod, the honor will be removed, will be diminished, will be removed from this nation. B'shalosh shanim kishmuk, the years of a sachar, v'nikla kavod b'yav b'chol hehamoyin arav. Despite, b'chol here means despite, doesn't mean all. Despite the fact that they are extremely wealthy, who would have ever imagined the nation of Moab, the wealthiest nation in the world, because they were in possession of the beautiful lands of Reuven, Gad, Gad, Asher, and Manasseh, the pasture lands, the fields, the vineyards. This was the commodity in ancient times. It wasn't electronics, technology, it wasn't services. In those days, commodities was wine, fruit, and vegetables, produce, high quality produce. Behold, despite Hehemon Harav, despite their enormous wealth, it's going to happen. They will be utterly destroyed in 3 years to the day. Ushaor, the remnant, whoever survives the destruction of Moab, what will they be? So we have three expressions which really mean the same thing. They will be ma'at, very, very small. Mizar. Mizar is, I don't know the difference. Mizar is exactly the same word as, the same translation, simply as the word ma'at. And now we say it in the negative form. Lo kabir. Kabir means mighty. Lo kabir, not mighty. Opposite of mighty, which means nothing. Humble. Insignificant. Weak. So three words which mean the same thing. Gushar, the remnant will be ma'at. Will be ma'at, mizar. Small and smaller. Loi kabir, not powerful, but weak. And this will happen exactly 3 years from the day that Yeshaya reveals the prophecy. But, over here we have a very nice concept. We learn over here something about prophecy. You have to go extract bits and pieces of how prophecy worked in ancient times when there were prophets. Hashem would reveal something to a prophet, but not necessarily what the prophet at that moment in time revealed to the world. He retains it for years, for decades, until the right time comes when the prophecy that was told to him 30 years ago, Hashem says, remember 30 years ago? Remember where you were and you had a revelation? Now is the time to repeat those words to the people. I'm not going to repeat it for you. You have to remember it. I'm not going to repeat the whole prophecy for you again. If you better remember what I told you 30 years ago. Now reveal it and tell them it's going to come true in exactly 3 years. Okay, there are two other small interesting things about this pasuk. In the Torah, we have something called a sochir and an eved ivri. An eved ivri, a Jewish slave, a person who hires himself out to a person to work. And the eved ivri has many halachas. There are halachas where the master has to basically give severance to an eved ivri. The master has to treat the eved ivri better than himself. The person says, if you acquire a slave for yourself, you've acquired a master. If you only have one pillow, who gets the pillow? The slave gets the pillow. Eved ivri is a complex sugya. Okay, they have a lot of gemaras, all over shas, discussing all the details of the dealing with eved ivri. Then there's something called the sochir, a worker. I'm hiring you. I have a construction project. I need someone to help me. I'm hiring you. How long will it take? Oh, it'll take 3 months. And you're going to work for me every single day. I'm going to pay by the hour, pay by the day. And this is the job, and you're going to work for me. What's the difference between a sochir and an eved ivri? Is the master required to give the eved ivri, the sochir, the hired worker, who's going to work for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, severance? Is he mechuyev? If part of the deal is, listen, you're working for me, and it's not kedai for you to go home during this, the project will take 1 year, we're doing a construction project, out in the middle of nowhere, and I want you to, you'll sleep over by me, you'll sleep over, you'll work for me for 1 year. Is the master required, the owner, the contractor required to give him his only pillow? Does he have to treat him with all laws of Nevedivri? When do we trigger all the laws of Nevedivri? From this very pasuk we learn, you're only called an Eved, you're called the Sochir, and you don't have all those obligations if you're working for exactly 3 years or less. But if you're working for your master 1 day more, if the contract is to work for the master 1 day more than 3 years, that's already called an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri doesn't work more than 6 years. But generally, but anything more than 3 years in 1 day, an Eved Ivri. Anything from 3 years and less is a Sochir. How do we know that? Doesn't say it in the Torah anywhere. There's no halacha on the Moshe Sinai. It's a pasuk from Yeshaya. Yeshaya says, we have this pasuk over here where it says, V'yata da'adibir Hashem lema b'shalosh shanim, in 3 years, kishnei sochir, like the years of a sochir. So here the pasuk says that 3 years, you're still called a sochir. 1 day more than 3 years, you're now an Eved Ivri. That's one important idea. Another idea in this pasuk is that it's exact. Just like when a person has a prison sentence, Chas v'Shalom. Goy has a prison sentence. He counts down the days until it's over. Every single day. A person's a sucker. You're working for someone, like almost like a slave, you're working, and it's a 3-year contract, every single day you put a mark on the wall, one day less, you can count down the days, b'diyuk, until when the Churban will come upon the nation of Moab. A third idea in this pasuk is the reason why it was 3 years. It was 3 years, it was a process. It seems that when Yeshaya began to tell them this prophecy, the process of the Churban began. Even though it's true that the destruction was very swift, but things built up. Things built up in the region. Things, they were moving their ships, and there were sanctions. All the different things were happening, reaching a climax to when it would come about. Why was it a 3-year process? Midah keneged midah, because Sancheirav spent 3 years conquering the Malchus of Yisrael. And who assisted him for those 3 years? The nation of Moab. Sancheirav could not have succeeded in conquering Malchus Yisrael without the help and assistance of Moab. So Moab was wicked for 3 years and allowing their neighbor and their uncle, Chal Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael to be Choraf, Midah keneged Midah, their Churban will also come about in the process of 3 years. Okay, we'll stop here.